Welcome to Know Your True Self, a show dedicated to raising the consciousness of humanity. I'm James.
Hey, I'm Samantha. And we are wrapping up the weekend here at the Petrassi household. We just watched a good documentary. Well, I don't know if it was good, but it was an interesting documentary about these people who basically met each other, fell in love, and then used their story as a platform to tell other people how to find love, which sounds like it starts as a helpful intention, but it obviously spiraled out of control and turned into one of those manipulation kind of like really messed up stories about what they asked people to do and how they controlled people. And it just makes you think about who we follow and who we idolize and who we even listen to, because obviously like people like that are super dangerous when they have this influence over the lives of other people.
That influence is so strange with false idols, right? Because it's gained through something very unique, the promise, right? A promise of something. In this case, it was twin flames. We're going to help you find your twin flame. And it was sparked by celebrity culture, you know? And all of a sudden,
Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly?
Yeah, Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly, who I don't know anything about them personally, but I just know they're not together anymore. So the twin flame died out. But when this became a cultural phenomenon, everyone then starts talking about twin flames on social media. And this couple, who has no real training or education and anything to help people, starts using people and saying, we can help you find your twin flame. And they're guaranteeing it. He's also guaranteeing that he can cure cancer, among other things. So really sad when people start taking advantage of other people because they're giving that promise, right? I'm going to help you find your eternal love. That's something so many people want, especially people that are suffering inside, that are lonely inside, that are their last straw. They're looking for that help. And it's so dangerous. And we see this with cult leaders all the time, like the promise of getting people into heaven. The more you give, the more I can promise you that I'm going to get you eternal salvation. We shouldn't have to give to someone else things that we own to get into a better afterlife. We should be good people to get into the afterlife and to pass over the way we want to pass over. But it's dangerous because I feel like false idols are almost everywhere.
And you're more susceptible to them when you're going through something in life and you're looking for a sense of direction. Like I remember even in my 20s, there are certain people that I followed that now looking back, I'm like, oh, maybe they weren't all there, you know, because I was definitely like exploring and looking into different aspects of spirituality and existence. And this one girl I used to follow who I wouldn't say I idolized, that's a strong word, but I definitely like revered her opinion. She just like years later started writing all these like strange emails, and like now she's found God and now she renounces anything she's ever done. And it's like, okay, like, are you all there? Like, are you okay? And not to say that saying that you found God is means you're not okay, but the way in which she was writing emails seemed like a little erratic and a little bit strange to just say she like totally is going against anything she's ever said in the past. And like, she was like condemned by the devil and like all this crazy stuff. So I'm like, now it's interesting to look back at someone's opinion that at the time I thought was like really like a spiritual leader. And I wonder now if she was like going through things all along and wasn't actually the most stable.
And you never know. And that's such a risk with idols and the people that you give a share of your consciousness to, because you really don't know what's going on in their world. You don't know how they're intuiting. You don't know what they're intuiting through, but you have to respect the fact that you don't know everyone else's powers, their connection to God. But what you do have to understand is that we all have that connection to God. God speaks to all of us. It's like some people take the platform, like, God spoke to me and told me that you need to lose weight to go into heaven. I don't know if anyone's seen
Gwen Shamblin,
but like, you know, just said God spoke to her and gave her these orders for everyone, and everyone's blindly following these orders and losing weight and, you know, abusing their children. That doesn't seem right. You know, that's a false idol. And, you know, to say that you speak to God is so powerful, yet we all do it. But if you say you're intuiting those messages and you can help people find peace, people are struggling so much, they'll glamour on to anything. Years ago, I was doing a workshop called Strategic Mindfulness, and this was at the beginning of the mindfulness movement, and I was doing it in corporate America. And I was talking about false idols because a few years previous to me doing this workshop, there was a documentary out called The Guru. And essentially, it was a filmmaker that pretended to be a guru, got people to follow him. And then at the end, he had to tell them that he wasn't a guru. And this was all just an experiment, and he was a filmmaker. And a lot of them didn't want to believe it. They truly didn't want to believe it. And I think that says something about our faith in false idols. Like, once we've given ourselves to that false idol, we're bound to it. Like, our energy is there. We've given so much to it, it's hard for us to pull out. It's like being in a toxic relationship. You know, you've given so much of yourself to it. You're like, why don't I just stay in this? This is where I belong. And you feel captive by that. So much of you is invested in it, maybe monetarily, maybe through the connections that you have. You feel like these are your only social circle you'll ever be able to have again. And it's not to say there aren't a lot of awesome spiritual leaders and religious institutions and people that you can get help, but you have to be cautious.
It's also the confirmation bias. It's once you've started taking actions in support of someone who is an idol, and it could be the smallest action, maybe it starts, but you subscribe to their email list, then you start going to like weekly things, then all of a sudden you moved somewhere for them. And like, it's kind of like gradually, one by one, you're starting to do all these things and you stop questioning it because you're like, oh, well, I've already done all this stuff.
Yeah, but those investments in false idols, right? Like the amount of readings that you've had through a tarot card reader or whatever you go seek in your own exploration of spiritual guidance, it can be really captivating. And when people put on certain types of theater, spiritual theater, ritualistic theater, it can really draw you into that vibration. And that vibration can be positive for sure in so many ways. But a lot of the spiritual teachings that we seek aren't the end all be all. Eventually, going back to the idea of a guru, here on earth, we have to be our own guru. You know, followers, followers, followers. Who are you following? What am I following? Like, what are you leading? Who are you guiding? How are you guiding yourself? These are the questions that you have to ask yourself. How am I lighting the fire within so God can speak to me? Because I know he's shouting at me, but right now my self-awareness is so blocked. All I'm hearing is my unconscious mind, and he's sending me all these signals, and I'm blind to them, right? I'm blind to them. So eventually, when you start removing those blocks to your self-awareness, you become enlightened because you have your connection with God. We're all enlightened beings here. We all are. We're just not all open to hearing the truth that God gives us every day.
Right. It's not like some people have special access and others don't. Everyone has the ability to tap into this knowledge at any point. But to your point, like, some people are just very blocked. I think also you might be idolizing people, not just from a spiritual sense, but just culturally. Are there certain celebrities or actors and actresses that you're just like obsessed with? That can also be dangerous. Like, I know one of my good friends was really into this actress at the time. And then she ended up seeing her in a grocery store and she was so starstruck and went up to her and started just saying, I'm such a fan of your work. And the girl was like a little rude. Like, she was kind of had a get away from me vibe and didn't, you know, invite her into a conversation, or she didn't even say, thank you so much, I appreciate that. She just kind of was like, get away from me. That was a hard moment for my friend at the time to hear someone that she had been idolizing be a little rude. And I think we know people, especially when they're in the public eye, but really we don't know them at all. It's just a persona that they're putting on. And sometimes we can fall in love with the idea of people or hold people up on a pedestal because they look a certain way or because they're getting attention. And we create this idea in our mind of who they are, but really we have no idea who they are. We just follow them.
No true connection. And pretty much what we're observing is a fabricated reality to pull us in to get to buy more of what they have to offer, right? And that's part of the entertainment industry. But, you know, you look at entertainment and business and fame, the fame that you're talking about, how much do we put that first in culture? You know, you look at like Fortune magazine and Forbes and you see banking crises with, you know, cryptocurrencies and founders that have been on the covers of these magazines, or wellness companies that have promises of giving you everything with a drop of blood, all of your knowledge and tests that you need to know about your health, and it's a scam. And these people have all been on the cover of magazines, idolized by people. And there's a lot of great entrepreneurs out there that are idolized by culture, but yet don't seem to have any structural family values, foundation, spirituality within their life. It's all about chasing the fame, chasing the headline, chasing the attention. And if you're going to follow that, and if that's going to be a beacon to you, you're going to be missing out on a lot of the essential components of what truly makes someone thrive in this world, because the spiritual dimension of life is at complete odds with the material world. I mean, that's the juxtaposition and the tension that we have to find here on earth. And idolizing the material world, appreciating it is one thing, right? But idolizing the material world is very, very dangerous, from the clothes that we have on our backs to the cars that we drive to everything that we curate as part of our life. Does it serve a purpose, or are we so attached to it that we find our identity within these false idols, within this material world? Or do we realize that that spiritual dimension, that all-knowing God, is within us all the time?
I was at a company that hired a really high-profile executive that was exactly what you're talking about, the person that was on the cover of magazines, like super highly regarded. And then when this person got into the company, everyone was like, wow, she's a sham. The veil was quickly dissolved because the person was suddenly in front of us in meetings, and we were realizing, like, oh my gosh, this person can't really do anything. It's interesting. They're just like the symbol of business and success and power and very dynamic and charismatic, don't get me wrong. But then when you get in the room, you're like, they have nothing of substance to say. So I think with any sort of person, wait until you actually meet them to make your decision on them. I think that's important. And also, like, some people can be very charismatic and draw you in, but then as you get to know them, there's maybe a darker side or something that you weren't expecting. So it comes down to just, like, get to know people in person, judge their character based on their actions, not their words or how they appear. And then also remember too that the best idol is inside of you. You know, there's a person to idolize within you, the best version of yourself, that you can really be your own idol if you live a life that's well lived and act with integrity and become a strong person. You can be your own, you know, best version of yourself, essentially.
I'm so grateful I am who I am. I mean, I am so grateful I am who I am, that I'm having this experience, that I'm going through these things, that I'm learning what I'm learning, that I've overcome what I've overcome, that I have the ability to forge a path and a destiny that's right for me. This is within all of us, right? This is the call that's within all of us to find that, right? To find that connections. If we rely on other people for that connection, we're going to feel perpetually empty inside. It's really, really difficult, perpetually empty. And, you know, I know what it's like. It's so hard because we live in a world where authenticity is so rare and so hard to find. I know we hear that word a lot, but as soon as you throw the word personal brand on someone, all authenticity is lost. You shouldn't have to brand people. People's energy, their experience, how they carry themselves, how they smile, how they laugh, the stories they tell, the connections that you have, that's what makes them wonderful, not the staged moments that they're trying to create to lure you into this idea of who they could be, right? This perfect image, these kissing, loving moments that couples have, or seeing people meditate and pictures of them in inner peace. Like, that's all fine and dandy, but it's in the real world. It's in your seat. The blood that's running through your body and in your veins, all of the atoms that make you up, your connection with universal consciousness. You are the guru. You are the true self. You just have to connect with it, open it up, and find that moment when you can become receptive to God. Thank you so much for joining in. Always remember you have a choice. Take an active role in your own evolution. Know your true self.